This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
They have the most medals in the Olympic Games, but the Ukrainians do not want this to become their national anthem. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for hopping on with us. So that's what the deal is. A lot of angst about this potential invasion. In fact, pinpointing that it could happen within a couple of days. We've heard this now for the past 2 days, and even to the point where the U.S. has pinpointed what it would cost the Ukrainians as far as casualties, and that Russian invasion, should it happen, is marked at 50,000 casualties. The Biden administration has dropped the word imminent in its messaging on potential Russian invasion of the Ukraine. Flat out, a congressional defense briefing, they said Russia could take the capital in 72 hours. And 50,000 is what we're predicting will happen, that many people will be in the middle of this whole thing. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs General, Mark Milley, said, told the White House and in Senate briefings that the capital city could be taken in 72 hours, right? 4,000 Russian troops could die, but 15,000 Ukrainian troops would go down. And imagine that park battle going on of what would happen on the border of another country twice and doing nothing. Is that what's going to happen this time around? Vladimir Putin is pretty serious about this, right? So U.S. and European allies are lining up, we know this, for resources, for a refugee crisis, which it would be, because the Ukrainians would flee. The Russian ambassador to the U.S. is amping up invasion talk as its own alibi for the Western-backed aggression, they say, in this contest in the Donbas regions. But that's all propaganda that's being pumped out. Russian Foreign Minister spokesperson Maria Zakharova is claiming the U.S. is sparking war talk during the Beijing Winter Olympics as part of a pseudo-distraction or boycott. That's what they do best, right? Spread that information, that misinformation. So Russia's military buildup on the Ukrainian border is there. I mean, it's at this point 70% of what's needed for a full-scale invasion of the Ukraine. 70%. 100 to 130,000 Russian forces, really more toward the 130 at this point on that border. Ukrainian people must be scared out of their minds, and desperately most of them want to hang on to freedom and democracy and not go under the guise of being part of Russia. I mean, not being part of Russia, not dealing with that, right? It's interesting because I was watching to what I call the Sunday swirl, and yet the former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo say that President Biden has completely lost the deterrence model that was put in place to stop hostile actions worldwide, and so there are enormous risks that are growing on many fronts. In addition to what could happen with Russia invading the Ukraine, he says there's the potential for a Chinese invasion of Taiwan. And there is something to that, right? There is something to what does it mean to all of us, and especially the Russians invading the Ukraine. He was on Fox News, and as he said, is, you know, don't forget, like, if you look at also the Iranians. We gave them sanctions relief, and they've already rejected that and will ask for more. And you cannot show weakness, because then this is the kind of thing that happens. The former secretary also spoke out about the ongoing Winter Olympics in Beijing and stressed while he loves the games and the American athletes who work hard to compete, they're just games, and that's how we view them. And he says the Chinese Communist Party sees the games as a propaganda tool, and the United States has put its athletes in a terrible position by not boycotting this year's Olympics. The boycott was only leadership boycotting it, but not boycotting the games themselves. That's the one thing Pompeo said that I don't agree with, but I understand what he's saying. And in some aspects, he's right. Because where do you put your foot down and say, nah, we're not doing it. We see what you're doing, and we're not participating, and we have the biggest contingent of athletes, and we're the biggest, the baddest, and the strongest, and we're not going to send them there. And that's that. So I understand absolutely the thought process behind it and how it makes sense, but I hate to not support the athletes. I think, and it was so close, and with everything with COVID, I think there was, in my mind, the best way to go was to go forward with at least that, but not support other aspects of it, and shine a light on what's going on over there, by the way. So there were some medals that have been handed out. The U.S. ice dance team, I'll throw this in, of Madison Chalk and Evan Bates skated at the Capitol Indoor Stadium on Monday. And they need to do something to save the Americans' first silver medal ever in the figure skating team event, and they did that. So that's good. They were able to step up and make it a great win. If you look at, it wasn't enough to propel them to the gold, though, but it was their best showing in three Olympics as far as that event is concerned on the ice. So the silver, the Russians got the gold in that one. America has won three medals up to this point as this leaves my lips, but there are more events that are starting to follow. So we'll see what the ultimate toll is of the Olympics. And of course, the other side of it is exactly what Pompeo said, but I think it's the chance to highlight it. It's the atrocities of things that are happening in China, the human rights complaints. And there have been a lot of those. Finland claims the isolation facilities infringe on human rights. They say there's chaos is the theme at the Winter Olympics, and it's only been a handful of days. And part of that is the isolation is because if somebody tests positive for COVID. So there were a lot of complaints about that. And then what also is going on in the country, too, as well. So you think about the games, you think about the athletes and of what's going on with these games. Dozens of athletes have tested positive since January 23rd. And I guess there's an inconsistent application of where the time is served prior to release with two negative tests 24 hours apart. Some athletes are able to wait out their isolation in their athlete's village, while others are taken to these bizarre quarantine hotels. So there is a big problem with that. Coming up, talking about taxes. Are you ready for taxes? We're doing that next. Stay with us.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
I was walking along, minding my business, when out of an orange-colored sky.
So we're really excited to have Mark Stieber with us. He's Jackson Hewitt's Chief Tax Information Officer, and it's tax time, I can tell, because all of my friends and associates are going a little bit crazy. And why? Because there's things they don't know before they file, and there's things they should know and things that you're going to learn from Mark during this conversation, because there's been a lot of changes because of what happened in, you know, 2021. So it's a little bit different, I think, this time around for a lot of people, depending on things like child tax credit, et cetera. Mark, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Wonderful, exciting time for people to start getting their big tax refunds in.
Boy, no kidding. And there is, like, do you feel like there's people that have a little more anxiety because there's some uncertainty of some differences with taxes and laws, et cetera, this time around?
If they shouldn't, they should, because the table stakes have never been higher. The benefits have never been more enriched from the tax law changes. And so there's a lot more money at play than my same old tax refund of years ago. So if you don't have anxiety, it's because you're not aware of all that's going on with your single largest financial transaction, mostly to the good. And that's okay. But there's a lot to watch and a lot to watch out for. And that breeds nervous tension, or it should.
All right, so let's talk about what we should watch out for. Give us a couple of tips on that. What should we watch out for?
Well, I'll just simply say it's the third year of the continuing pandemic, right? So there have been life changes from the pandemic. People are working from different locations, home offices, unemployed. People have started self-employed gigs to make ends meet. People are still getting married and divorced and having children and starting their own business and going back to college at night. So there's plain old life changes. And then the third category are the tax legislative changes, both federal and state, that the government put into place to try to help out. So there's a lot of places to look for benefits or changes to your tax return, most of them pro-tax payer. And I'll give you a couple of the three that we've seen so far this year, the largest by far of which is the new giant child tax credit. Child tax credit's been around for decades, and it's a nice credit to help offset your taxes. New for 2021, though, it's been supersized to $3,600 per young child, $3,000 for older children, $2,000 for high-income earners, up to $400,000 if you're married, or $200,000 if you're single. And tax credit, which is a dollar-for-dollar offset, not like a tax deduction or a tax, you know, benefit, it's a full dollar-for-dollar benefit. And it's fully refundable. No earned income, no tax offset this year, $3,600 fully refundable credit under the new child tax credit program. Finally, they started making advanced payments on the estimate of what would be half of your credit back in July. So about 35 million people got payments, $300 or so per month, in an estimate of half the tax credit that they would ultimately claim. Well, when you do your taxes this year, you'll have to reconcile what you have received to get the other half. And then pray tell, if you had a new child because you adopted a child, had a baby, fostered a child, your year for shared custody, which a lot of people have, you know, you may be due an entire new whole amount of the credit, $3,600 or $3,000 or $2,000. So affects a lot of people. The dollar amounts couldn't be higher, but it is not with simple, you know, check a box. You've got to do some things to get that money.
Yeah, wow.
The child credit, the biggest one by far, but lots of others in there too.
Yeah, yeah, so that's great. So this is a big one people talk about, especially now, because as you said, with the pandemic, so many people with home offices. Is your home office tax deductible? How do you figure that out?
Yeah, that's a pretty simple rule, but unfortunately it's steeped in mysticism. It's an audit red flag, which it's not. And it's also steeped in confusion that if I have an office and it's at home with my desk and my chair, my printer, my phone, what have you, I have a home office. I should take that form, the home office deduction form. Well, that's not entirely true. If you're an employee working at home out of a convenience of the employer, out of an abundance of caution, you just want to be safe, or even if your office is closed and you don't have a choice, if you're working from home and you have a home office, if you're an employee, you do not qualify for the home office deduction. On the other hand, if you have a side gig, a self-employed activity out of your home, a home-based business, full-time or part-time, or your spouse does, then you certainly qualify for the home office deduction, even if you are an employee at the same time. But what you have to have is a home-based business, like an Amazon business, an Etsy business, or any kind of business that you run where you have an office out of your home. If you have that, then yes. If you're an employee, pure and simple, without some side gig income, then no. But it is not a key red flag. It is a very nice tax benefit. There's a simplified version and a complex version. So if you're working out of your house and you have some self-employment business, full or part-time, be sure you claim the home office deduction.
Oh, that's a great tip. All right. When should taxpayers work with a pro? When do you not want to do this yourself? And you certainly know a lot about that. When do you decide to do that?
Well, any time that you have something that can add dollars or confusion to your tax return, you should seek out someone who's trained in the new rules, who stands behind it with a guarantee, you know, that is convenient and economically priced. And that may or may not be your Uncle Bob, the tax pro, but it certainly is a qualified tax pro. And I tell people this, if you've had any change or any of these new changes that we talked about impact you, you generally don't want to go it alone and do your taxes on your smartphone while you're riding the tram in. The risks of making a mistake are too high. And it's no longer, I'm going to get audited. Now it's, I left off $2,000, I left off $4,000, I left off $10,000 in benefits. And the thing people need to know is this. The IRS is not in the business to make sure you got your biggest refund. Rarely will they send Kate another $5,000 because you left off this set of tax deductions related to your home-based business. On the other hand, they will send you a notice when you leave off that unemployment benefit that is fully taxable. So you use a pro to get the best refund that you can, to lower your stress, and to help you navigate what is a complicated set of tax laws in any year, and 2021's king daddy of that so far anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mark, where can we go for more information?
Well, our website at jacksonhewitt.com, we've got videos on these and other topics. We've got checklists on what to do to get started, what to watch out for. But the best thing, you got a little bar in there. You put your zip code, up pops the pizza graphic map of all the offices near you. You can click on one, make an appointment, take down the address, or just go right in, drop off your stuff if you don't want to sit there in the office and have it prepared virtually for you. So the jacksonhewitt.com website, great place to get started, whether you're our client, whether you want to do it yourself, or you just want to outsource the whole thing to someone who's trained and experienced. I always like to start there for any of your tax questions.
Excellent. Mark Stieber, it was great talking to you. Jackson Hewitt's Chief Tax Information Officer. I'm sure it's a busy season for you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. What I love that he said there is that if you leave thousands of deductions, that kind of thing off, hey, they're not going to let you know. You know, you should have written that off and that off, and that would have reduced what you owe, or it would have led to some sort of a refund. So he is right, and I'm sure I've fallen into the category of leaving things out on the side of, hey, the IRS wins, and I don't. And he is absolutely 100% on that. They're not going to let you know, but they will definitely let you know if you leave things off. And it is one of those deals where we are a nation of procrastinators, are we? Can I say that? Can I just blanket that for? I mean, listen, it's one of those things. What is procrastination about? Putting off what you don't really feel like doing. If you're going to get a big giant refund, oh, be doing that right now. Get it in so that you can hopefully get that refund. If you feel like you're going to owe, of course you're going to drag your heels a little bit, and then it becomes that hurry up and get it done days before it's due. Or file for an extension, right? File for an extension because there was no time to do it correctly. So you're just, you know, you think you know, so you guesstimate, and that's why you do the idea of getting the extension. It's just the paperwork that you're dealing with, and for some that really makes a lot of sense. I know that most people hate doing it. I mean, how many people raise your hand if you do your own taxes? I have the special glasses where I can see across America. I see very few hands going up when it comes to taxes. Hey, speaking of money things in the U.S., you know the U.S. debt has officially hit $30 trillion? Wow. That's according to the Treasury Department, their data. They published it on Tuesday. Government borrowing accelerated, of course, during the COVID-19 pandemic. Washington spent aggressively because they were trying to cushion the economic blow from the crisis. So it surged about $7 trillion since the end of 2019. And this is always a tug of war over how much is too much, how much debt is too much. But I'm thinking $30 trillion sounds like a lot of money, $30 trillion. And, of course, the Fed is planning to launch their first series of rate hikes since 2015. So higher borrowing costs are going to make it harder to finance that mountain of debt. Aye, 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 aye. Music means this hour is over. Thanks to all of you for listening to it. Make it count, everyone.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says there's a very distinct possibility that Russia will attack Ukraine any time now. He said as much on the Sunday morning talk circuit in Washington. Sullivan told ABC's This Week that Russian President Vladimir Putin will order an attack on Ukraine, warning it could take a number of different forms. He asked that the U.S. is ready to respond in a number of different forms as well, including diplomacy. But
if they choose to go down the path of escalation instead, it will come at enormous human cost to Ukrainians, but it will also, we believe, over time, come at real strategic cost to Vladimir Putin.
Meanwhile, Sullivan says the administration is working to rally allies and provide support to the Ukrainians. Reports say about 70% of Russia's military power could be in place soon for Putin to act. You're listening to USA Radio News. South Korea has reported its 1 millionth COVID-19 case. It did so as the country set another record for daily case counts. More than 38,000 cases were logged Sunday as the country grapples with a wave driven by the Omicron variant. The high daily case counts have come sooner than public health officials had expected. Meanwhile, another vaccine against COVID has been announced.
A South African company says it's developed a COVID-19 vaccine based on publicly released data on Moderna's vaccine. Afrigen Biologics says it could start human trials by the end of the year. The creation of the vaccine without the original developer's assistance and approval is thought to be a first.
That was USA Radio's Chris Barnes. Jackass Forever topped the weekend box office. The fourth movie in the series earned $23.5 million in ticket sales in its first weekend. Rounding out the top five, Moonfall, Spider-Man No Way Home, Scream, and Sing 2. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
She's written a book called The Miracle of Hospice, The Personal Journey of a Hospice Nurse. It's such an interesting book. One of the things that she talks about, there's three parts in it, and we're going to go to her in a second, including the fact that she's got 10 helpful facts about the dying process, and she and I talked off the air about how difficult this is, of course, for so many people. And in my own life, I saw the value of hospice when my mother was dying from cancer. Boy, do we need them, and they were just miracle workers for us and made such a difference. So, Kathy Trueheart, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about what made you decide, you know what, I need to get this in a book.
Well, it was actually, it just happened to be one day that I had just had an incredibly diverse day. I mean, I went from breaking up a fist fight in a family meeting to doing a pronouncement with a sage stick, from sitting on a porch having an epiphany to cleaning kitty litter. And I remember right after that day, the day was done, and I went, oh, my God, I could write a book about this day. And so it kind of mulled in my head and marinated for 3 or 4 years, and then finally I just said, no, it's time. So, and it took about 9 months to write it. It's like a birthing process. And I think part of it, too, was like just, you know, I spent like pretty much 40 years of my career doing hospice. And, you know, I've just learned so much of the rich experiences that I've had, you know, the privilege of being with people at such an incredible time in their life. And I just, the stories are just so precious to me, and the information that I've gathered in all these years just felt like it needed to be written down. You know, I didn't want to take it with me. I just felt like I wanted to share it and see if I could help. And even if I felt like even if I could just help one person, then it would be worth writing the book. And so I know it has helped a lot of people, and so I'm really grateful for that.
Oh, that's wonderful. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how you did this book. I mentioned that there's three parts in the book. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the first part is that one day, and I take you through the nitty-gritty of a day in the life of a hospice nurse. So I talk about cases that I mentioned previously. And so then at the end of that are the 10 common myths about hospice, because there's so much that people don't know about hospice, and they have misconceptions. So that's the first part. The second part is like my personal experience. And so I write about my journey of taking care of my mother, being a caregiver burnout, you know, experiencing it firsthand. And it's very different, you know, talking to people and teaching them about it when it happens to you. It's very, very different. So I talked about my father, and there was a financial feud with my sister that is so prevalent in so many. When someone dies, there's usually a problem with finances. So I just felt compelled to share those kind of experiences, as well as spirituality and holistic nursing modalities. So that kind of encompasses the second part of the book. And then at the end of that is 10 helpful facts about the dying process, as you mentioned. And then the third part is the why, who, where, when of hospice, which is kind of the nitty-gritty didactic part of hospice. And at the end of that is the 10 myths about grieving. I also was a grief counselor for several years. And interlaced throughout the whole book are just personal experiences of people that I had the privilege of caring for.
Wow. So it's like I'm thinking, this is a book that, this is from A to Z, it's about the dying process for sure, and then how do you do it? And you talk about the 10 myths about hospice. What are some of the myths?
Well, just, you know, well, for one thing, people think that once you come on hospice, they take away all your meds and they throw you on morphine. And that's not true. You know, it does happen. We do, you know, decrease people's medications, the ones that they don't really need, that aren't really helping them at this point. And if somebody's in pain, then certainly, you know, we do have morphine, which is I encourage people to make friends with, because it can be such an incredibly helpful medication for pain and for breathing. But you know, we go slow, we start low, go slow. That's the motto for the pain medication. But, you know, a lot of people just think that they just get thrown on morphine and there's no hope left. And there's always hope. And people don't realize how often people get discharged from hospice. They think, well, once you're on hospice, that's it, you're dying. And that's not true. You know, oftentimes, you know, miracles do happen. That's why I named the book The Miracle of Hospice, because miracles do happen, and we never take away people's hope. And, you know, maybe there's not a cure for the life-threatening illness, but there can certainly be a lot of healing that can be done before somebody takes their last breath. And that's kind of what hospice is all about, helping people live a quality life until the time when they do take their last breath, and helping people to prepare. You know, it's like, it's a pretty incredible experience, and it's one that most people are afraid of. But, you know, my feeling is that it's something to be revered rather than feared. Of course, I had a near-death experience to help me to not fear death, but not everybody has that gift. But I certainly used that a lot in my in my career, having had that experience of being near death.
So tell us about that. Tell us about the near-death experience.
That happened when I was 5 years old, and I almost drowned. And I had a little inner tube around my waist, and it was holding me over. I dove in, and it was holding me under the water. And I remember saying, oh, my God, I can't believe I can see. I'm so pretty under here. God, I thought it was a mud hole, which it was. It was a blood sucker mud hole. But I was able to see my mother's legs, and it was just beautiful under there. And I could see tropical fish. There were no tropical fish, but I saw them, and it was just so pretty, beautiful beach. And then all of a sudden, I remember thinking, oh, my God, I can breathe underwater. So I really felt like I was just breathing underwater, and there was never a moment of fear. It was just, wow, isn't this intriguing? And then beautiful white light that just kind of encompassed the whole pond. And so I didn't hear any voices or see anyone. I was just in this state of nirvana and just peace and love and beauty, and just, it was wonderful.
Wow.
And then my mother happened to look over, and she saw my boiling, and she pulled me up, and I did not have to be resuscitated, but there had been a lot of deaths that year, drownings in that particular pond. So I just felt like I was given this gift of getting a glimpse of what it's like on the other side, and just, you know, having this life that I could share that with people. And I've since spent time in studies with near-death experience and people like myself who, you know, one of the main things when you have a near-death experience is that you're not afraid of death, and but you have a really strong spiritual life of just feeling like kind of a purpose-driven life, I guess you'd say. And that's kind of what my life has been like. It's felt like very purpose-driven and being of service. Most people will say, how can you do this work? It's got to be so depressing. And I would always respond with, oh, honey, I have plenty of tears that I cry, but it's just, it's a calling, and it's my ministry, and it's just a very profound work to do. It's very humbling, and it's a real privilege.
Yeah, you've said this and weaved this into the conversation, but what do you hope people take away from reading your book, The Miracle of Hospice, The Personal Journey of a Hospice Nurse?
Well, you know, my intention, or my goal for the book is to educate people on what hospice is and what it is not, and just helping people to make friends more with the word hospice itself. Unfortunately, the medical profession doesn't really even mention hospice until there's no more cures and there's nothing left. And so they just kind of get this blow that it's hospice. Where I really, hospice could be mentioned more at the beginning of a life-threatening illness, and to just be more part of conversation and people feeling not so scared by the word, and to just kind of just have it be more of a household word that people understood, and, you know, to just kind of not be so terrified of dying and just realize it's such a natural part of life, it can be beautiful. A lot of my people will say, wow, I can't believe that this was beautiful. I'm so grateful. And it's not always beautiful. A lot of times it can be real ugly, but the more prepared you are and the less fear you have going into it, and the more love that you can muster up, it really can be a very different kind of experience for people.
Yeah, wonderful. Perfect place to end this. Kathy Trueheart, you can get the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Kate, and blessings to you and all the listeners. Thank you all for listening.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I am so excited to bring back on the show Howard Michael Gould. He has written a series of books, but we're starting with the first book that's now made into a movie called Last Looks, a Charlie Waldo novel. And it's really cool. I'm kind of in trouble because I had a deadline that I blew by because I was reading his dang book. And so I actually, and as I'm doing this interview, this is radio, but I have the book in my hand, and I did. I sent, it was something I was pitching and they wanted me to send them something, and I sent them, a picture of the book and said, I've got to finish this next chapter. And it's fascinating because it's really about this one-time LAPD superstar who goes into the woods, and can you imagine, he only is going to live with 100 items. Just for like a minute, I want you all to think about that. Could you do the 100 items thing? So we are so thrilled to have Howard back on with us again. Howard, thanks for coming back on.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kate. It's great to see you.
So let's talk about what something you told me off the air about. Well, first of all, let's talk about this movie, because this is your book, and it seems like it's pretty, from what I understand, pretty true to form of what the book is, the screenplay, because you wrote that.
Yes. Yeah, it's basically the same story. You know, little things change and you don't have room for everything that's in the book.
Right. So tell us the story first, I guess.
Well, Charlie Waldo, as you say, was a superstar LAPD detective. Something went very wrong on a case in his past. And out of sort of self-punishment and a devotion never to do any more harm to anyone or anything or the planet or anything, he's gone off to live in the woods as a hermit and as a sort of a pathological environmentalist who's absolutely committed to zero carbon footprint, won't drive a car, rides around on his bike when he has to go anywhere, and as you say, will only own 100 things. And he's living there peacefully for 3 years in true seclusion when his girlfriend shows up and draws him back into a case indirectly, but that's what she's looking to do. And it's the case of a big Hollywood star who is a blackout drunk and belligerent, gets into fights on set and in his personal life, sort of a throwback to the old kind of Richard Burton, Richard Harris, Peter O'Toole days. And he may or may not have, in his locked home, killed his wife. He cannot remember, but everyone's sure he did it. And that's the case that he's pulled into. And in the movie, Charlie Waldo is played by Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy and lots of other things people would know him from. And the belligerent, drunken movie star is played by Mel Gibson, who's fantastic in it. A real nervy choice of his, and I think a nervy choice of the producers, and he's wonderful.
And you talked to me about what Charlie did to prep for this movie. Tell the listeners about that, because I think that's phenomenal. That's method acting.
It is. And, you never know what actor is going to be drawn to something you write, and you never know why. And I think in his soul, Charlie Hunnam had a profound connection to Charlie Waldo and understood him inside and out. And wanted to go that much further. And he actually went off to live on his own for a couple of weeks in the woods for the time right before we came to Atlanta and started work to start shooting. And he showed up in Atlanta with 100 things. So he would come to me on the set and say something like, Howard, I'm not going to try and do his British accent, which is sort of mid-Atlantic, because he lived here most of his life at this point, I think. But I'm thinking I want to go swimming this week, and I'll need some nose plugs and some trunks. Which two things should I get rid of? Like, Charlie, man, I just write this. I don't live like this. You're the guy living like this. So we talked through the things he had and what he needed, but he kept himself to Waldo's rigor.
Wow, that is so cool. And you were there on the set, and so you had conversations with him, with Mel Gibson and the others. What was Mel like?
I actually had a delightful time with him. We were shooting in what used to be Tyler Perry's mansion he built for himself. In a section of Atlanta where you can't put the trucks and the trailers. So the normal thing that happens, people don't realize how much downtime there is on sets, right? And they shoot a few takes, and then the actors go to their trailers while they move to another room or they turn the cameras in the other direction. But here there were no trailers, nowhere for them to go, and we were in this mansion. They'd have to ride like 20 minutes each way in a van. But rather than do that, they hung out. And so the only people with nothing to do a lot of the time were Charlie and Mel and me. So I actually had a fair bit of time on those few days with them. And Mel's very serious about his work, very serious about his sobriety, owns what he's been through and gone wrong. And I actually had a very, very good experience working with him.
Yeah. Well, I think this movie is exciting. And as I said, since I can't put down the book, I can only imagine. And for you, is it exciting? Because, listen, you've written plays. You're a screenwriter. You've developed things that have gone to the screen. Is it an exciting moment for you to watch all this happen?
Oh, sure. It would be more exciting if the pandemic weren't on and we could have a normal premiere and big crowds to see it. That would make it all the better. But I wanted people to see this. I think we made a good movie, and I'm excited that people finally are going to get to see it. And I hope it draws people to the books, too, because the first book has a lot more in it that obviously you're not able to get into the movie. And then the story continues through two more novels.
So now you have three novels. Will you continue Charlie's story?
I will. I'm working on a fourth right now. Yeah.
Wow. You're like the Janet Ivanovich of stories.
I wish. This is a late career switch in a way, though. I've been mostly working in comedies, and I came to writing mysteries and came to writing fiction much later, you know, not until I was in my 50s. It was just something that I tried. We had this script, actually, for this movie, and it kept almost getting made and then not. And I loved the story so much I didn't want to let it go that I just, on a flyer, tried it as a book, and it sold right away. So I kept doing that.
Is it fun for you to again, as you said, this is another switch for you. I mean, it's writing, but it's another switch. Is it fun for you to get into the mind of this character and write these books?
Yes, it's very claustrophobic being in Charlie Waldo's mind, being in the mind of somebody who, you know, I guess it's in the new book, right? He has to travel around the country a little bit. So at every turn, he has to decide what is the least damaging to the planet, whether I take a plane, whether I take a bus, you know, what's the carbon output per mile. But wait a minute, if the bus is not full but the plane is, does that make the bus actually more damaging? How far can I actually go on a bike? Just to have to think step by step like him, I find it very exhausting. When the book's finished, I'm glad to be back to being just me.
Nice. And so we know the movie's coming out soon, and we look forward to that, and we'll see.
February 4th.
Yeah, February 4th. So, and pay-per-view, and it'll be on some screens.
Yes, it will be in, I think, 20 cities. And then on demand through your cable system, however you get your TV shows and movies.
Wonderful. Well, don't be a stranger. I want to know everything you're doing, and you can come back on anytime. You're such a delight. Howard Michael Gould. And Last Looks, of course, is the book, is the movie that we're talking about that's coming out too as well. Congratulations, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Kate. Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
All right, I can't wait to see what happens with the movie. I hope that all of you listening to this settle back in and watch the movie, especially we're in this weather. It's a perfect thing to curl up on the couch with. I know that we'll be doing that this weekend in my house, and I read the book, and I am just sold on this. There's no question about that. It's weird. I was thinking about movies, and I was thinking about music the other day and how big that is in my life and how big that's been in this show, because here we've done this show now for 15 years. I cannot believe it. So if we go back in the time vault of history, so to speak, you know, it was just the other day in 1959, before my time, before I was born, musicians Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, J.P. Richardson, J.P. Richardson, the Big Bopper, and the pilot, Roger Peterson, were killed in a plane crash. They called that date the day the music died. And to really get a sense of their impact on the music business, talk to somebody who was around in that era. My mother used to talk about seeing Buddy Holly in a very small crowd and what that was like. And Richie Valens and the Big Bopper, they all had pretty big impacts for the short time that they were alive. The music means that we are out of here. Thanks for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.